Hello and welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForAgain. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow there at GoForAgain as well. Expected today to be joined by Damian Barry, running back for the Baltimore Ravens. And Damian, we're going to talk to him about last week. The Ravens had a rookie and free agent minicamp last week, and we're going to talk to him about that camp. And also, we're going to bring in 11-time Pro Bowler, the great Willie Rofe, and 2012 Hall of Fame inductee as well. The great Willie Rofe, get his thoughts on some of the things going on in the NFL. Also get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs as well. And the NBA playoffs, again, was a good time yesterday. NBA playoffs was a real good time yesterday. I mean, great time. Lakers game at the Lakers Thunder. You had the Sixers and you had the Sixers and Celtics last night, which was good. A very good game last night with the Sixers and Celtics. I mean, that was a great game last night. Doesn't get any better than that one. I mean, especially if you're a Sixers fan like myself. Big-time Sixers fan, lifelong Sixers fan. Been a Sixers fan my whole life. And what I saw yesterday was great. Was absolutely great. It was absolutely great what I saw yesterday. And, you know, watching that, I was very excited. And we're back, having some technical difficulties here. We're seeing to clear them up right now. But what I was talking about and what I was referring to the game yesterday, big game yesterday, especially in Philadelphia, being a lifelong Philadelphia Sixers fan, Philadelphia 76ers fan like myself, I was excited what I saw yesterday. I mean, that was a great, great performance, a great game by everybody involved. Everybody stepped up for that Sixer team down the stretch there against the Boston Celtics. And you looked at that game and you were saying, okay. And looking at that game, the reality is you figured the Celtics up 14-0. You figured the Celtics up 18 in the third quarter. You figure off the big victory that they had the other night where they blew the Sixers out. You figured at that point the Boston Celtics were in complete control of that particular game, and you figured the Boston Celtics were about to be in complete control of this particular series. Win last night, Celtics are up 3-1, and especially with the uncertainty what's going on in Indiana with the Pacers in Miami series, you figure if you're the Boston Celtics, you win this particular game up 3-1, you finish them off Monday at home for Game 5, and then you get some rest. You rest Pierce, you rest Garnett, Rondo, Ray Allen as well. You rest all your boys and get your boys right moving forward. But what happened? The Philadelphia 76ers rose up. Andre Iguodala stepped up late in that fourth quarter with the two big three-pointers down the stretch there. Lavoy Allen came off the bench. 8 points, 10 rebounds. Very impressive off the bench. Thaddeus Young contributed off the bench. Lou Williams was big, 15 points, 8 assists off the bench. The Sixers got contribution from a lot of different areas, and they stiffened up on the defensive end. They tightened up on the defensive end, and that was important. That was big. They started getting turnovers, started turning the Celtics over, and in turning the Celtics over, that was big. And the Sixers from there were able to create transition opportunities for themselves and are able to get some points in transition. Because the reality is with the Philadelphia 76ers, one of the ways they score, one of the ways, really, I mean, the only way they're really scoring the basketball consistently is in transition. You have to limit the transition opportunities for the Philadelphia 76ers. If you don't, you keep them in the game. And that's what the Celtics did. The Sixers chipped away, got a little aggressive with Elton Brand and that technical, and that seemed to turn the momentum as well. But they chipped away, and they chipped away at the Celtics, got some transition opportunities, and they started to make some plays. I mean, they couldn't buy a basket in the first half. They couldn't buy a basket. And like I said, when the Celtics were up 49-31 in the third quarter, you figured at that point, the Celtics were about to take this thing over and move on, especially off of what you saw the night before or two nights before. But, it was a great playoff game, and then the Sixers really, really showed how tough this team really is. Doug Collins has this team playing tough. This team is a mentally tough ball club, a team that won't quit, a young team, and Doug Collins has them believing in themselves and believing that they can beat the Boston Celtics. And hey, at this point, if you're a Sixers fan, this is all bonus. This is all gravy. They don't belong here, obviously. Derrick Rose was healthy. They wouldn't be here. If Joakim Noah was even healthy, they may not be here. But hey, that's done. That's in the past. And you play who you have to play. And these playoffs, like I said last week, have been saying throughout these past few weeks, comes down to survival of the fittest and who's the healthiest. We're looking at Miami and Indiana, and we're seeing the healthiest team is winning in that particular series. Chris Bosh is gone. Dwayne Wade is hurting. The healthiest team is winning that series. At this point, the Pacers are up 2-1. The Heat will still win that series, but we'll get to that. But the Heat and the Pacers comes down to some respect who's the healthiest team, and the healthiest team is the Indiana Pacers. And that's what these playoffs have been about in a lot of ways. The healthiest team has advanced. And I think that's what we're going to see. That's what we may see moving forward. And that's what we may see throughout the course of these playoffs. Survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. And right now, the strong, the healthiest in that Miami-Indiana series is the Indiana Pacers. And that's why, if you're the Boston Celtics, that's why yesterday's game was so, so ultra important. I think the Celtics still win this series, but I think yesterday's game was important from the standpoint of rest. Because the Indiana and Miami series is going to go long. It's going to go 7 games. So that's going to be a long series. And so that gives you an opportunity, if you end it on Monday, to get yourself a week's worth of rest. To get yourself some rest moving forward so you will be effective against either the Pacers or the Heat, but you get healthier. And that's why yesterday's game was very important for the Celtics. A golden opportunity to get rest, a golden opportunity to get yourself ready to move on to the next round. The more games you play, the more opportunity there is for injury, the more opportunity for anything can happen. And anything could possibly happen with this short season and the way guys are going down. Guys are going down left and right. Guys are going down left and right. And I talked about this playoff being about who is the healthiest. You look in that first round, Heat, Knicks. Heat would have won that series regardless. But who was the healthiest team? That was the Miami Heat in their first round series against the Knicks. They were the healthiest team. Stoudemire banged up. Shumpert, the ACL injury. Obviously, Bulls, Sixers. Who was the healthiest team? The healthiest team was the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's why they were able to advance against the Chicago Bulls. That's why they were able to advance, because they were the healthier team. Derrick Rose was not healthy. Joakim Noah was not healthy. And thus, you run into a situation that Chicago Bulls ran into. You run into a situation that the Knicks ran into. Two teams that were not healthy. And you can blame it on a lockout. You can blame it on a lot of different things. But the reality is, the healthiest team will win this NBA Finals. Will win the NBA championship, I should say. And ultimately, that does mean winning the NBA Finals. And I see the healthiest team at this point. You look at OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder is healthy. You look at San Antonio, they seem healthy. You wonder with the Clippers, is Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, how healthy they truly are. The Lakers seem fairly healthy. But I think Oklahoma City is the better basketball team, and they ultimately will win that series. But the Lakers do seem fairly healthy. And myself here, Paul Gant speaking, I'm not healthy. I'm not 100% here. I'm fighting through a cold, battling, trying to make it happen. But I'm battling, I'm fighting, and I'm trying to bring you some good, entertaining radio. But I'm battling right now, fighting a cold, and I guess the healthiest will have the best show. And I guess the healthiest, I believe, will win the NBA championship. It'll come down to who is the healthiest. It may come down to that, who is truly the healthiest team. And again, that's why yesterday's game was so big for the Boston Celtics, because you had an opportunity to get yourself some rest if you would have won that game and ultimately took care of business on Monday. And the Celtics, and it just seemed like they had the Sixers where they wanted them. It seemed like they had, at that point, taken over the series. And you figured, okay, the Celtics were about to show the Sixers who's boss here, who's the better basketball team. And it seemed that the Celtics were on their way to doing that. But along the way, things happened, stuff happened, and ultimately that stuff caused the Philadelphia 76ers to move on and to a game five now. And moving on to game five, the Sixers are in this series. They have an opportunity now to win this series. Will they win this series? I don't think so. Obviously, I hope so because I'm a lifelong Sixers fan. But will they win this series? I don't think so. I think Boston will just be a little too much for the Philadelphia 76ers. But, I'm wishing, I'm hoping. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Three games left in this series. Anything is possible, especially with guys going down left and right. So who knows what can happen? Who knew Derrick Rose was going to go down with an ACL injury? Who knew Joakim Noah was going to go down with an ankle sprain? Who knew that was going to happen? So anything is possible here. But even if the Celtics are 100%, no one goes down, the Sixers have proven they can beat this ball club. And the only time they have proven that they couldn't was that game three where they got blown out. But other than that, they've been in every game, and every game has come down to the end, including yesterday. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And that's what we do here on Go For It. We get it and have a good old time. And we're going to bring in a guy who had a good old time last night. He was at the Sixers-Celtics game, running back for the Baltimore Ravens, Mr. Damian Barry. Damian, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And let's get right down to it. You were in the building last night for the Celtics and Sixers when the Celtics were up early in that game and even in the third quarter. You had to figure that the Celtics were about to take over that particular game and the series.
Yeah, I thought they really had control over it in the first part of the game, but then the Sixers started to come back strong. When they got within five, I was like, man, these guys have a chance of winning.
Right, and they fought, and they fought, and they fought. And at this point, you think the Celtics still win that series?
I don't know. It's going to be tough, I mean, because the Sixers have a young team, and they're fighting, man. They're not going down just without swinging.
And who is your squad?
I'm a Laker fan.
Laker fan, okay. Do they get by OKC? I got my doubts.
Of course we make it past OKC. We got.
You sure about that?
Of course we make it past OKC.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. I mean, even Kevin Durant playing the way he's playing, Westbrook and Harden and the defense they're getting from Ibaka, and even OKC having a home court advantage, and even OKC being up 2-1, Lakers still get it done?
Yeah, we still get it done. We've been in this situation before. So, I mean,
okay.
Kobe's not young at this, man. This is not new to him. Everybody wants to see the Lakers fail because we got too many championships. That's crazy. We always hit the person that's on top. It's crazy.
and to your point, I mean, you look at game two, the Lakers gave that one away. Andrew Bynum was right when he talked about the Lakers were like Santa Claus because they did give that one away.
Yeah, they did. I mean, last 2 minutes, didn't play no defense, didn't make no baskets. Come on, man. Where they do that at?
And Damian, let's get to you now. Last week you were at the Ravens rookie camp. All reports were you look very impressive. How did things go for you?
Man, things went well, man, very well. Having a year in really gave me a chance to really show what I really knew and what I learned last year. And this, man, it's just a great opportunity that I have ahead of me.
Right, and you look at it, you look at the opportunity that you had last year. You were able to play with some two great backs, Ray Rice, Ricky Williams. How much were you able to learn from those particular guys?
Man, I learned a lot from Ray and Ricky, man. And Bronte, too. Bronte Leach. Those guys were very supportive of me. They always kept me in my playbook, kept me into it, and showed me how to be a real pro.
Right. And looking at it now, I mean, last year you had the lockout. This year you have an opportunity to have that full off season. How much will that benefit you?
I mean, we only got bits and pieces because I'm a vet, so I only got like the rookie camp, so I didn't get the whole thing. But the thing with the rookies, man, that's great, man. They have a full off season. We had to come when we came in. We were bang, bang, bang. We came in.
Right.
We had a couple weeks until the first preseason game. Now they have time to prepare, go back home, relax, and then come back. Ours was like, let's get it and get it now. If you ain't got it now, you ain't going to play.
And how difficult was that?
I mean, it was – you had to be strong-willed and ready to work, man, because the Ravens, we work. We outwork everybody, and we do everything better than our opponents. We try to beat out everybody. And I feel like we just prepare to be great, and if you don't have that mindset, you're not going to make it.
And this year, Damian, you have a great opportunity. Ricky Williams retired. Ray Rice's contract situation, a little uncertainty at this point. Looks like it will get taken care of at some point. But there is an opportunity for you at the backup running back position. Talk about that opportunity.
It's an opportunity that has presented itself, but I still have to compete. I still have Anthony Adams, and we drafted a rookie, Bernard
Pierce.
Yeah, from Philadelphia, home of the Sixers, yeah. so, I mean, I have a lot on my hands right now. I have to compete, and I have to stay strong and do what I have to do to be that guy. So that competition, I think it'll really push all of us to be the better, you know what I'm saying, back out of each other to get the best out of us, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And what have you done in the off season to make that happen, to take that next step, to be on the 53-man roster?
I train 4 or 5 days a week at TV Sports, just working on being faster, man. I just want to be a little bit faster. If I can be a little bit more strong, if I get a little better at my protections, if I get a little better at my reads, I just want to be a total back, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like everything, I want everything to flow. I mean, I don't want to have to think about anything. I want everything just to flow.
Right. And you feel like at this point you're close to letting that thing flow, you're close to being in that position?
almost definitely, man. I know the playbook. I know my reads. I know everything. It's just all about putting it together right now. It's all about putting it together and
right.
getting on the field and doing it.
And hopefully you can do that. We're talking to Ravens running back Damian Barry. And Damian, a lot of guys on the Ravens. You got a lot of guys from the U, Bryant McKinney, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, to name a few. I mean, it seems like the guys from the U have a lot of love for each other. Talk about the unity that comes with playing for the University of Miami.
Man, the University of Miami is like a brotherhood that will never, ever go away. I mean, we just drafted a guy, Tommy Streeter.
Right.
And now, since I came in, Ray Lewis, Brian McKinney, Ed Reed, all those guys. Tavares Gooden was here when I got here. So all those guys really, like, embraced me. I really didn't have to do anything the rookies did. Because those guys were like, oh, you ain't got to do it. You from the U. So it was like, it was kind of cool to sit back there and be with those guys. To learn with
right.
those guys, man. I was like a fan when I first seen Ray do his dance at the stadium for the first time live. I was a fan. My first time seeing Ed Reed catch a pick in the NFL live, I was a fan.
Right.
And it's just a blessing to be able to play with these guys.
And you see it all around the league. You see all the guys from the U. The guys seem to just have a lot of love for each other. They seem to take care of one another. You talked about it.
Yeah, we always got to take care of that U, man. It's like a fraternity that can never be broken. It's something. It's a close-knit family, man. That U, we always wear that.
And you talked about Ray Lewis. We see his leadership abilities. We see his skill set. Obviously a Hall of Famer when he retires. But talk about when Ray Lewis talks to a team. What kind of emotion, what goes through your head when Ray Lewis is talking to you guys, pumping you guys up?
Man, when Ray is talking, man, the locker room is silent. This dude is so passionate about the game, you can't help but listen.
Right.
And when he speaks, man, it speaks volume, man. And it's just like, it's contagious. Like, when you have somebody like that, it's just contagious, man. You have no choice but to, like, want to go out and do something. Even if you're not playing, you want to go out and hit somebody after one of his speeches.
And looking at it, man, last year the Ravens got to the AFC title game. Obviously, you didn't play last year. You were on practice squad. But you were able to see the playoff games. You were able to be around the guys. Could you see the intensity of a playoff game more so than the intensity in the regular season? How much different is the intensity in the playoff game than a regular season?
We actually treated every game as if it was a playoff game.
Okay.
When we played the Colts, we treated it like a playoff game. When we played the Bengals, we treated it like a playoff game. We played it to the Jets. We played the Steelers. Anytime we played the Steelers, a playoff game.
Wow. That's true. I mean, that's a big, big-time rivalry. And seeing that rivalry firsthand, you didn't play, but you saw it. How intense is it?
Man, very intense. Very, very. Man, the stadiums are crazy. Terrible towels. The Ravens fans, this is amazing, man. It's something everyone should experience. If you haven't been to a Ravens Steelers game, that's something you must experience. I think that should be on everybody's bucket list.
I got to get that on my bucket list, then. Thanks for telling me. I'll get that on my bucket list right now. And, Damian, what are your goals for the upcoming 2012 season? What are you looking to accomplish?
To help this team, man, in whatever way, get to where we need to be. And that's division champion and world champion.
Right.
Whatever I have to do to help our team, help the Baltimore Ravens get there, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Not about stats. It's not about anything. I just want to do whatever it takes to help my team get to a division championship and the world championship.
And the Ravens are a team that's very, very close. Again, very close, and they were a couple plays away from getting to the Super Bowl and playing in the Super Bowl. So this team is close. This team is close to getting to the Super Bowl and ultimately winning a championship. And Damian, now, where can fans connect with Damian Barry?
They can hit me via Twitter, at DJBarry20. I answer, just hit me up. You can hit me up on Instagram, DBarry20. I mean, okay. Just holler at me, I speak back.
Okay. And Damian, real quickly before we let you go, you sure about it right now? The Lakers down 2-1. They will win this series, and ultimately they will win the NBA title this year?
I didn't say all that. We're going to win the series. We're going to fight for the title. We're going to fight for the title. We're not going out like that, though.
Okay. So I'll just put you down for them winning this series.
Okay. And when we win the series, I will expect a phone call from you guys.
Definitely. And when they win this series, how many games? So just so I know, man, just in case I want to bet it or something.
It's going to go to game 7.
Game 7?
It's going to
game 7. So game 7 in Oklahoma City, the Lakers will win that particular series.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll write it down. I got you down for it.
I mean,
Damian, it was a pleasure talking
to
you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in 2012, and let's do this again.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.
Damian Barry, running back, Baltimore Ravens, as he prepares for the upcoming NFL season. He likes his Lakers. He thinks the Lakers will beat OKC. I don't know. Well, I do know. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think Oklahoma City is a better basketball team. I will say this. The Lakers did give away game 2. They gave it away, had the game in complete control. But I just think that right now, you look at Oklahoma City, it's a team with Westbrook, with Harden, with Durant. I think it's just too much for the Lakers. I really think it's too much for the Lakers. And will the Lakers shoot 42 free throws again? I mean, they shot 42 free throws last night. Will they get an opportunity to shoot that many free throws? That's a lot of free throws. That's a lot of free throws to be shooting. So will they get that opportunity to do that? Will they get that opportunity to do that? I don't know. But that's a lot of free throws. That is a lot of free throws. A lot of free throws. But I look at it now. I look at this series. I just don't think the Lakers have enough firepower to beat OKC. I think OKC is the better basketball team. And I think also them having home court advantage is going to be the tipping point. I think the Lakers will win one more game, but I don't see this series going past 6. I like OKC in 6, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers took it to 7. And I can see it going 7, but I can see that 7th game being a blowout. I can see that 7th game being a blowout and OKC finally taking it over and ultimately winning this particular series. And by the way, I had OKC going to the NBA Finals. So with that being said, I have to stick with my pick, and I believe in my pick, and my pick is OKC will move on and ultimately will make it all the way to the NBA Finals. But you got to give Kobe Bryant a lot of credit last night. 36 big points, 18 for 18 from the free throw line, so he got it done there. And he stepped up. If you're the Lakers, it's good to have world peace back in the building. It's good to have peace anywhere. But it's definitely good to have peace back on the basketball court if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, he played well yesterday, fairly well yesterday. He got, 10 points for him, but he was decent. And you look at this, the little scrum that he got in with Russell Westbrook. Interesting there. The announcers thought Westbrook overreacted. In general, and for the most part, he probably did. I don't know, that knee, but Metal World Peace was a little interesting. Questionable. It was a little questionable. I didn't hear much about it, but I thought that knee was a little questionable. Looked like he gave him a little knee drop there to Westbrook. But, I mean, obviously he didn't do anything worse. He didn't go crazy. He kept his composure for the most part. And hopefully, if you're a Lakers fan, he can keep his composure for these next few games and beyond. But OKC, I still think, is the better ball club. I still think they're a better ball club. And ultimately, I think that will be enough for them to get by in this series. And it looks like it's going to be San Antonio, OKC, in the NBA, in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, those two teams seem like they're on a collision course right now. And the San Antonio Spurs are playing some great, great basketball. Swept the Jazz up 2-0 against the Clippers. And I don't see the Clippers. I see the Clippers probably winning at just one game. I don't see them winning more than that. I think that Grizzlies series took a lot out of them. And also the health of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, you don't know how healthy those guys are. And the Spurs are just really, really clicking on all cylinders right now. Really clicking on all cylinders right now. Getting some good play out of Danny Green's coming off the bench, hitting threes for that ball club. Of course, you got Parker, Ginobili, and Tim Duncan still doing their thing, still playing at a fairly high level. We kind of sleep on the Spurs. We always tend to sleep on the San Antonio Spurs each and every year, and they always find a way to tell us and show us that they're still a viable option and they're still going to be around. And you look at it the other night, I mean, 22 big points for Parker. You're still getting that play from Tim Duncan. He's still doing his thing. You added guys like Steven Jackson, added guys like Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw was 7-for-7 the other night against the Clippers. So you add all those pieces together, and you look at the Clippers for the Spurs. You look at the San Antonio Spurs. To me, it's going to come down to the Spurs and OKC in the Western Conference Finals. And it's going to be a big matchup. It's going to be a very big matchup. And the question is, can OKC get past Duncan and the Spurs? Do they have enough to deal with the veteran poise that the Spurs have, to deal with the depth that the San Antonio Spurs have? Because they're playing some great basketball and they're getting contributions from a lot of different guys and a lot of different places. But OKC at this point has not gotten by the Lakers, but I do believe the Spurs it will definitely get by the L.A. Clippers. The Lakers and OKC, you have some questions there, but I think OKC will ultimately get by in that series too. But the series that has a lot of people talking, is the Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers. And we're going to get to that in a moment. You're listening to Go Forward on BlogTalkRadio.com. And we're back, and I'm going to get to the Pacers in Miami Heat series right now. You look at that particular series, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, but the Miami Heat are just not healthy. Dwayne Wade was struggling the other night. He was struggling the other night. It was a big-time struggle for Dwayne Wade, and he got into it with his coach, Eric Spoelstra, on the bench. But you look at Dwayne Wade, 2-for-13 from the field, only 5 points. That's not good. That's not getting it done. But the reality is the Miami Heat do not have Chris Bosh. And we talked about it. I talked about it earlier in the week. I tweeted it earlier in the week. The thing about it, I always believed in a lot of ways, and I was guilty of it just like a lot of people, that the Miami Heat were really the big two and Chris Bosh. But now we are seeing that the Miami Heat truly is a big three. And that big three consists of not only Wade and LeBron, but Chris Bosh. He is a legitimate part of the big three. And we cannot sleep on what Chris Bosh brings to the table. That's 18 big points you're taking out of your lineup. That's point. And you look at the Heat front court. Who's going to replace him? Rony Torioff? Dexter Pittman? I mean, Who's replacing him? Udonis Haslam, who was off the other night. I mean, who's going to replace Chris Bosh? Who's going to replace that 18 points? Where are you getting that from? Mario Chalmers did step up for 25 points, a playoff career high. But other, you're not going to really expect that. Who are you going to get that from? Juwan Howard? A guy that you think he can help you? Is he going to help you in your front court? Who are you getting? Who are you replacing? Who's going to replace that 18 points? Who's going to replace that 18 points? I don't know who can. I don't know who can. And the Heat are in trouble because of that. They are in trouble because of that. You figured even if Bosch was healthy, this was going to be a tough series against the Pacers. Because you figure from the get-go, the Pacers had the front court advantage. Hibbert, Hansbrough, David West. You figure they had the front court advantage going into this series. That's going into this series. They had the front court advantage. But you look at it now with Chris Bosh out, even more so now, the advantage is with the Indiana Pacers front court. No Bosh means that Roy Hibbert, and he talked about it. Roy Hibbert talked about, look, without Chris Bosh in the lineup, I'm able to wander. So now I'm able to be in position to block shots, to cause havoc, wreak havoc on the defensive end. I'm in position to do that. And he did that with five blocks. He's now in the position to do those things. He is now in the position to do those things, to block shots and to roam a little bit because Chris Bosh is not there to keep him honest. Roni Torioff cannot keep him honest. Joel Anthony cannot keep him honest. Dexter Pittman cannot keep him honest. Udonis Haslam cannot keep him honest. None of those guys can do that. So guess what? Roy Hibbert is able to roam, so he's able to distract and affect some of the drives of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And with Dwayne Wade hurting now, it looks like LeBron James is going to have to go back to LeBron James in Cleveland. He's going to have to be that guy. He's going to have to go back to being that guy, that dude. He's going to have to be him for the Miami Heat to move forward. And guess what? It's not like he hasn't done it. It's not like he hasn't been that guy. It's not like he hasn't made it to an NBA Finals with the likes of an Eric Snow on his roster, a Booby Gibson on his roster, Donyell Marshall on his roster. So let's not forget that LeBron James has done it before, has taken his team very far, very far. You look at that, you remember the year he led the Cleveland Cavaliers to the finals back in 2007? You look at that year, the Detroit Pistons, you could argue were the better basketball team. But LeBron James played off the charts in that particular series. And you remember that game five, I believe it was. That was game five, yes, where he scored like 25 straight points, had 48 big points in that particular ball game, scored 25 straight points for the Cavaliers from the fourth quarter into overtime. And the shots that he was making, the drives that he was doing, I mean, he can do it. He's a three-time MVP for a reason. He can do it. And I expect him to do it. I think the Miami Heat still win this series. I think LeBron James, this is a great opportunity for him. This is a great opportunity for him, for those who question his ability to finish games, his ability to be clutch when he needs to be clutch. For those who have questioned that, for those who have questioned those things about LeBron James, he now has an opportunity to shed a lot of people up, because a lot of people have forgot, they must have forgot, as Roy Jones would like to say. They had to forget some of the things he's done, the type of player he has been throughout the course of his great career. You don't win three MVPs by being a bum. You don't take teams to NBA Finals without by being a bum. You don't do that. You don't do that. And LeBron James carried those Cavalier teams to the NBA Finals back in 2007. Carried that team. Carried them. Absolutely carried them to the NBA Finals. He carried them. And do you forget the names that were on that roster? Let me remind you, and I did this before way back when, but I'm going to remind you again some of the names that were on the 2007 Eastern Conference champion Cleveland Cavaliers. Shannon Brown, a young Shannon Brown, rookie Shannon Brown. Daniel Gibson. Drew Gooden. Larry Hughes. Ilgauskas. Damon Jones. Dwayne Jones. Donyell Marshall. Ira Knubel. Sasha Pavlovic. Scott Pollard. Eric Snow. Anderson Varejao, David Wesley. Can somebody please tell me who is the number two? Give me a number two option on that ball club. Other than LeBron James, give me another option on that team. Somebody give me another option on the 2007 Cavalier team. LeBron averaged 27 that season. The next person in line was Larry Hughes, who averaged 14 points a game. Then Ilgauskas, who averaged 11 points a game. And then Drew Gooden, who averaged 11 points a game. Do we have anybody that you would consider a viable number two option on that team? Anybody. You would call Larry Hughes a legitimate, a viable number two option? Drew Gooden? Ilgauskas, a number two option? A legitimate number two option? I mean, come on. There is not a viable number two option on that 2007 Cavalier team. So for anybody that must have forgot about what LeBron James can do and what he has done throughout the course of his illustrious career, you need to look closer and look at what happened. What happened that particular year? And let's look at the playoff numbers, where he averaged 25 points, 8 boards, 8 assists throughout the course of the playoffs back in 2007. But the next closest person, 12 points, Ilgauskas. Ilgauskas averaged 12-9 during that playoff run. So LeBron James led the team in assists, and darn near was close in leading the team in rebounds back in 2007. So you look at the whole thing about LeBron James and, yes, missing the two free throws with his team up down one late in that game too was not good. Yes. What we saw in the playoffs, in the NBA Finals, I should say, because, and let me bring this up before I go to some of his failures, but let's look at last year's playoff. The best player on the Miami Heat for the first three rounds of the playoffs was LeBron James. It wasn't Dwayne Wade. It was LeBron James. He was the best player on that team. Made some big plays against the Celtics, big plays against the Bulls in the conference finals. He didn't do well in the finals, obviously. But, the best player for the first three rounds was LeBron James. So let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. Please, let's not forget that. Again, he is a three-time MVP. And the crowd loves that. All right, enough of you. He is a three-time MVP. He is a guy that can play and has played at the highest of levels and is the best player in the game. But I think we forget the things he has done. We talk about what he didn't do and forget about the things that he has done. To me, what he did for the Cavaliers back in 2007, taking that team to the NBA Finals and beating a Detroit Pistons team back in 2007, it was a very good team. And a team that was getting to the conference finals every year, a team that had that championship core together, that nucleus, and a team that obviously was the favorite in that particular final, Eastern Conference final, I should say. They were the favorite. But you look at what LeBron James did, and especially in that Game 5, that was one of the better playoff performances you'll ever see. That is one of the better playoff performances you'll ever see in your life. 48 big points. 48 big points. And he made it happen. He made it happen. See, the Miami Heat, the Cavaliers at the time, do not get to the NBA Finals. Miami Heat don't get to the NBA Finals without LeBron James last year. And the Cavaliers definitely don't get to the Finals without LeBron James in 2007. So, LeBron James may have to go back to that guy. He's going to have to go back to that guy because there is not anyone on that roster who you have confidence, enough confidence in, that will be able to score the necessary points for the Miami Heat. Maybe if Shane Battier can hit some threes, a little more threes, because he's going to get his looks. Maybe if he can hit some open threes, you have an opportunity, because he was awful in game 3. 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 6 from downtown, 0 points for Shane Battier. So you want to get more from him, and I think you will get some more from him. Dwayne Wade, obviously you're not going to get 2 for 13 for 5 points, so you're expecting to get a little more out of him. But Mario Chalmers, do you expect to get 25 out of him every night? More than likely, no. And you have Udonis Haslam. Haslam, 0 points last night. 0 points last night. 2 nights ago, I should say. 0 points. So, obviously, I think you expect to get a little more from him. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get a lot, but I think you're going to get a little more from Haslam. And throughout the course of these playoffs, Haslam, well, he's only averaged 2 points. I said 2 points. Let me check that again. Haslam's only averaged 3 points a game, but he's a guy who's capable of hitting the elbow jumper, capable of getting you some kind of production. But other than that, Mike Miller, I guess, is a guy, just looking at their roster, Mike Miller is, I guess, a guy definitely can hit it from three-point range, can definitely hurt you from downtown. So you're going to expect a little more out of him. But I talked about Dwayne Wade. He's averaging 20 points throughout the course of his playoffs, 20 points a game. So you figure Dwayne Wade only 5 points the other night. You figure you're going to get more than two from 13 from the field. You figure you're going to get more than 5 points from Dwayne Wade. And you'd be shocked if he didn't. You'd be shocked. But the question is, how healthy is he? And that's going to be the big thing. How healthy is Dwayne Wade? How healthy is he? How healthy is this guy? I mean, if his health is not where it needs to be, then maybe if LeBron James plays like the LeBron of old, maybe that may not be enough to get by this Pacer ball club. You're going to have to get a little more than what you got from Dwayne Wade. You're going to have to get a little more than what you got. You got to. You got to. You definitely have to. You got to get more than what you got. And so you look at it also with Dwayne Wade. Could you imagine what would happen, what people would be saying, the type of stuff we would hear if that was LeBron James and Coach Spoelstra going back and forth? Could you imagine the things we would have heard about LeBron James? Could you imagine the things we would have heard if that was LeBron James arguing with Coach Spoelstra? Could you imagine that? And so, if we would have saw that, if that was LeBron James, the outcry, people would be saying all different types of crazy mess, crazy stuff. If that was LeBron James, who was arguing with Coach Spoelstra on the bench, we would have heard all types of craziness. All types of craziness. If that was LeBron James instead of Coach Spoelstra, LeBron James arguing with Eric Spoelstra instead of Dwayne Wade, the world may have ended. The world may have ended if LeBron James was the one arguing with Eric Spoelstra. The world may have ended. It may have ended the other day, on Thursday, if we saw LeBron James arguing with Eric Spoelstra. I think the world would end it, because the outcry would have been so much, would have been so big, would have been so crazy. Would have been so crazy. But I look at it now. I mean, obviously it was frustration on Dwayne Wade's part, not playing well. 5 for 13 from the field, 2 for 13 from the field, only 5 points. So you can understand the frustration on his part there. But Udonis Haslam talked about it the other day. And Haslam went on to say that We got a lot of alpha males in this locker room on this team, he said. We're going to encourage each other and get on each other's case when need be. But it's all constructive criticism. I don't think it's personal with anybody. Emotions get high. It's the playoffs. And the reality is, it is the playoffs. It is the playoffs, and you're playing 82 games, well, 66 this year, and then you're playing the playoff. You're in the playoffs. Emotional situations, tough situation, crucial situations, and you're going to see things like that. We're going to see guys getting into it. Obviously, you don't want to see a lot of it, but you're going to see it. And according to Stephen A. Smith, Spoelstra told Wade he was playing like garbage. And that caused Wade to do what he did, got up and yelling at his coach. And the two were face-to-face and had to be restrained by various players on the Heat. Spoelstra said after the game, anybody that has been a part of a team or has been a coach or has been a player, you have no idea how often these things like that happen. That was during an emotional part of the game. We were getting our butts kicked. Dwayne and I have been together for a long time, and we've been through basically everything. And that means including an argument that those two got into. The frustration obviously had to be high. Wade's frustrated. Coach is probably frustrated. The team as a whole frustrated because they're possibly on the verge of being knocked out in the second round by the Indiana Pacers. They are on the verge of possibly getting knocked out in the first round against the Indiana Pacers. They're in trouble. They're on the ropes. They're definitely on the ropes, backs against the ropes. But this is what champions are made of. And in every championship run, you're going to have problems. You're going to have things like this happen. I mean, there's going to be adversity through the course of any championship run. And look at it last year. The Heat didn't really have a lot of adversity in the first three rounds of the playoffs. I mean, they beat the Bulls in five, beat the Sixers in five. So they really were really playing some good basketball last year. It didn't really go through a lot of adversity in the first few rounds of the playoffs. You knew that the Miami Heat were going to win each and every one of those series. I mean, they lose the first game to the Bulls, but they come back and win the next four. They come back and win the next four. But you look at the Miami Heat last year. They didn't go through what they're going through this year. I think they're a better team this year than they were last year, and more of a team than they were last year. But now at this point, it comes down to health. It comes down to health. The health of the team. And the health of Chris Bosh. The health of Dwayne Wade. I mean, it comes down to that. It really comes down to that. And the Bulls, I mean, not the Bulls, the Heat, a year ago, 4-1 against the Bulls, 4-1 against the Celtics, 4-1 against the Philadelphia 76ers. So in those series, in those three series in the Eastern Conference, they really were in control. Now you look at it, down 2-1 after three games. This is a team that has not been in this position together before. And we shall see how they respond. And we shall see how they respond, A, being not 100%, and B, being behind 2-1 against an Indiana Pacers team that is playing very good basketball and have been playing very good basketball throughout the course of this season. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
you remember.
Hey, what up?
That.
It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And get it is what we do each and every Saturday here on Go For It, blogtalkradio.com. Paul Gann here, second hour of Go For It coming up. I'm battling, fighting, playing hurt, and trying to get it done right now. 1 hour in the books, another hour upcoming. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler, 2012 Hall of Fame inductee, the great Willie Rofe. He's going to join us in the second hour, so we're looking forward to that. talking more. We're going to get into Willie with the whole lawsuit, Jonathan Vilma against the New Orleans Saints, and also we're going to talk some NBA playoffs with Willie Rofe. He's a guy who loves the NBA, big fan of the NBA, watches a lot of basketball, enjoys the game of basketball. So we're going to talk to him about those things. And so we got a good show lined up for you this last hour. First hour, we talked and focused a lot on the NBA playoffs and what happened last night, what happened with the Los Angeles Lakers getting it done against the Oklahoma City Thunder and putting themselves back into that series down 2-1. Now they got a game today at Staples Center. And speaking of that, and a lot of things going on in L.A. at the Staples Center this weekend. Los Angeles Kings on the verge of going to the Stanley Cup Finals. You got the L.A. Clippers. They got a couple games this weekend. You got the Lakers, got a couple games. They had a game last night. Then they have a game today against the Oklahoma City Thunder, obviously. And you look at it, it's a great time. If you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan, Los Angeles Clippers fan, if you're a Dodgers fan, the best record in baseball right now. If you're a Kings fan, the team on the verge of going to the Stanley Cup Finals, you got to be happy if you are a fan of Los Angeles sports. You got to be happy. What more can you ask for? All these different things going on. Clippers, Lakers, Kings, Dodgers playing good basketball. And the Staples Center is busy. At 3:30 today, Eastern time, the Clippers court will be down. And then later tonight, at about 10:30 Eastern time, the Lakers court will be down. Obviously a little sooner than that, but the Lakers court will be down. So it's going to be a busy, busy day in Los Angeles. And that'd be a good place to hang out. Hang out at Staples Center all day long. Good place to hang out. Why not? That'd be a great place to hang out today. All those games you got going on, that'd be a great place to play. And then tomorrow, the Los Angeles Kings, they play at 3:00 Eastern tomorrow at the Staples Center. So you got to be excited there if you're a Los Angeles fan. And then. Later on that Sunday, the 20th, later on that particular day, 10:30 Eastern time, you have the Clippers who are playing the San Antonio Spurs. So you had the Lakers last night, you got the Clippers and Lakers tonight, and then tomorrow you have the Clippers and Kings at the Staples Center. If you don't like that, you don't like sports. All those different events, it makes you want to jump on a plane and head out to Los Angeles and see it. Just hang around it. Because you have a lot of different events going on. A lot of different events going on. And a lot of big games going on. We're not talking about regular season games. We're talking about We're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs. Not practice. We're talking about the playoffs. We're not talking about regular season games. Not regular season games. We're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs. You got to be excited if you're in Los Angeles right now. It makes me jealous. I wish I was a Clippers, Lakers, Kings fan at this point. But I am a Sixers fan. I am a Phillies fan. I am a Philadelphia fan through and through. And last night, we had a good time. You had the Sixers, Celtics, Sixers win. You had the Red Sox and Phillies, and the Phillies win. What else can you ask for? You cannot ask for anything better. You cannot ask for anything better. You're listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio. Talked about it before we went to break. I talked about what was going on in Los Angeles and what happened last night in Philadelphia. You had the Red Sox and Phillies interleague play. Phillies get it done 6-4. Great performance, Cole Hamels. Jonathan Papelbon gets the save against his former ball club. Great night to be a Phillies fan. Great night to be a fan of Philadelphia sports. And a great weekend to be a fan of Los Angeles sports. Celtics, Sixers, Red Sox, Phillies, and then the Clippers, Lakers, Kings, all playing legitimate, important basketball and hockey games at this point of the season. There's going to be some busy people there. It's going to be some people working in concessions, working in the cleaning department at the Staples Center, where you're going to have an opportunity now to make a lot of money, maybe in terms of overtime and so on and so forth. The opportunity seems to be there to make a lot of money. In terms of and guys out there getting their hustle on, maybe selling jerseys or selling hats and T-shirts and things of that nature, the street vendors, they have an opportunity as well. A lot of people out there have an opportunity in Los Angeles to make some good money, selling some things. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, get out there and sell some things. Get out there around Staples Center. Try to make a buck. I know it's a bad economy out here. So take advantage of the opportunity. Try to make a few dollars, a couple dollars out there, and who knows what could happen. You might be able to make some good money. Make something. So get out there and see what you can do. Get out there and see what you can do, because there could be some opportunity out there for you to make some money. In this economy, there's truly nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Who doesn't need money? We all need it in some way, shape, or form. So if you're a street vendor, get on out there around Staples Center. Try to make yourself some extra money, some cash, some moolah, so on and so forth. Try to make yourself some money. Please, get out there. Get out there. I mean, you got a playoff marathon this weekend. You have a marathon this weekend. And you wonder, what if, hypothetically speaking, what if the Kings game goes into overtime? What if it goes into overtime? And you know, let's say we got a with a marathon, let's say 2-3 overtime, because you can have that in hockey. 2-3 period. Let's say we go what? Say go extra 4 periods of overtime. 80 additional minutes, which is equivalent to 1 hour and 20 minutes. Instead of the game ending at game starts at 3:30 Eastern, so game 2.5 hours, you figure game should end at around 2.5-3 hours. Game should theoretically end around 6:30 Eastern time, which gives the crew at Staples Center 4 hours to prepare the court for the Clippers. 4 hours to prepare the court for the Clippers. Hypothetically speaking, you go 2-3 overtime. Let's just say, I said four, but let's say two. Let's just say two, which would be an additional 40 minutes of just hockey time, not counting in commercial time and things of that nature. So let's say roughly an additional hour now. And that puts the game ending at instead of 6:30 or 6 o'clock, I should say. Let's say that ends puts the game ending at 7 o'clock. I mean, it's going to be difficult. And as Staples Center Senior Vice President Lee Zeldman talked about yesterday, he was quoted as saying, "While it's not my decision about what happens to that 7:30 Clipper game if the hockey game goes into overtime, I am concerned about it. There's going to be a drop dead time somewhere along the way, because what we can't have is the hockey game ending around 5 or 5:30, and that would be 5:30 Pacific time. So." What if the game does go into overtime? I mean, what if the game truly does go into overtime? I kind of want to see it. I want to see that happen. I think I want to see how this is handled by the leagues. You want to see how that happens. You want to see how that what happens there. Maybe what has to happen is just the Clippers Spurs game gets pushed back in time, and maybe that's what they'll have to do. According to Lisa Zeldman, Senior Vice President of the Staples Center, it takes 2 hours and 15 minutes. To transform Staples Center from a hockey arena to a basketball court. So you figure if the game ends at, let's do it on Eastern time, because I'll get confused if I do it on Pacific time. But if the game ends, starts at 3, if the game ends at 6, you still have 4.5 hours to get it done and get it transformed. Now, if the game ends at, let's say it goes in overtime, 2 overtimes, and now instead of ending at 6 Eastern, it ends at 8 Eastern, and 2 hours and 15 minutes to transform Staples from hockey to basketball, you're probably looking at a situation where you will have to push back the Clippers-Spurs game, maybe an hour, half hour to an hour. So you have enough time for players to warm up and get ready for the basketball game. So hypothetically speaking, Kings game starts at 3 hours. We're now at 6 Eastern time, 2.5 hours to fix the court. So the court theoretically should be ready about 8:15, 8:30 Eastern time, which gives 2 hours for the Clippers, Spurs to warm up and do what they have to do. But game goes an additional hour. Let's say the game goes to 7 o'clock Eastern time, two hours, 15 minutes to transform Staples from hockey to basketball. Now you're talking 9:15, and now you're talking an hour and 15 minutes. You wonder how much routines would be affected by this. So I guess theoretically, if you're Staples Center, you hope the Kings game does not go into overtime. That's what your wish is. That's what your hope is. That's what your goal is. That's what your dream is. That the Kings, Coyotes, do not go into overtime. That's what your hope is. So, you remember the 5 overtime thriller, Penguins and Flyers, back in 2000, which went a long, long time. And hockey games can go a long time, especially in the playoffs games, especially in the playoffs, which is sudden death, and which go on and on and on and on until somebody scores a goal. So, it can go on and on and on. And that on and on and on could be forever. Could be 2-3 hours. Additionally, added on to the game. So you wonder what will happen if we get into overtime with the Coyotes and Kings. What's going to happen theoretically is games are going to have to be pushed back. And that's really the only solution. The game will have to be pushed back. That would be the only solution. But I guess if you're a Staples Center, this is a good problem to have. Playoff basketball in your building from your hockey team and your two basketball teams. You want this type of business. This is a good problem to have if you're the people at the Staples Center. You want this type of business. You want it, and you want it now. You want this type of business. And it's also a bike race as well that's going to be happening around that time. In this arena, in March, 33 events in 31 days. And doubleheaders are said to be common here at Staples Center. So, you look at it now, business is good at the Staples Center. Business is good at the Staples Center. It should be a lot of fun in Los Angeles. It should be a whole lot of fun in Los Angeles. A whole lot of fun in Los Angeles this whole weekend. It started yesterday with the Lakers, and it's going to end Sunday with the Los Angeles Clippers. And if you're a Clippers fan, hopefully it'll end with you being tied 2-2 with the San Antonio Spurs. Hopefully. Hopefully. And yesterday, we talked about Dwayne Wade, and guess who's chimed in to rip Dwayne Wade? Guess who ripped Dwayne Wade? A guy that tends to put his foot in his mouth a lot of times, and that is Miami Marlins manager Ozzie Guillen. and Ozzie Guillen talking about the incident between Eric Spoelstra and Dwayne Wade. Ozzie Guillen was saying that, "I will kick his butt." Well, I won't say I'll kick his butt. They'll kick my butt because they're bigger than me and I'm older. But I will take my chances. Some people have to understand our job. So he's not. Ozzie Guillen is a guy who would not have backed down from that confrontation. He would have gotten to a fight with Dwayne Wade. He would have attempted to fight Dwayne Wade. Not sure how successful he would be, but he said he would try to fight Dwayne Wade. He obviously would not be successful. Spoelstra obviously would not have been successful either. So, but you figured Ozzie Guillen would have kept his mouth closed. You figured Ozzie Guillen would have been quiet because of the things he had with the his Castro comments and the 5-game suspension that he had because of those comments. You would think he would have kept his mouth closed. Some people just don't learn. Some people just cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves. They always like to talk. Some people just can't keep comments to themselves. And yesterday, switching to baseball now, Kerry Wood of Chicago Cubs called it quits. He's done. He's retiring. And yesterday, against the White Sox, in the eighth inning, struck out a player, and he left the game. What a great way to end it, by the way. I mean, that's a good way to go out, striking a player out and getting on with your merry way. Getting on with the get on. He's had some health issues throughout the course of his career, and he's best known. We all know him from that 20-strikeout game, back in 98, and that was a big, big game, and you expected big things from Kerry Wood from that particular ball game. Injuries hurt him throughout the course of his career, but he was big for the Cubs. He got him to the playoffs, and that's a lot when you talk about the Chicago Cubs, but he was a big part of playoff teams for the Cubs, four playoff teams for the Cubs, and that's a lot. That is a lot. When it comes to Chicago Cubs, a team that has not won a World Series in a very long time. But he was a starter for early parts of his career, and then he became a closer and a relief guy. And ultimately, he would end his career 86 victories, 63 saves. But he goes out, and you say to yourself, he probably could have been a little more than he was. Could have been a little more than he was. You figure, after that 20-strikeout game, you expected big things from Kerry Wood. After some of the years he had early with the Chicago Cubs, you expected big, big things. But injuries, again, have a way of derailing a lot of careers. And it derailed the career of Kerry Wood. He could have been more. He should have been more. But injuries got the best of him. And he was able, again, to, in a lot of ways, change himself around and just reshape himself and come back as a closer. He was able to do that. He was able to do that and was very successful as a closer, including 34 saves for the Cubs back in 2008. So he was able to redefine himself, able to change himself around and able to be able to extend his career and play 14 seasons. Able to play 14 seasons and able to do it as a closer, as a relief guy. So give him credit. He was able to prolong his career. He was able to prolong his career. And so he goes out on top in some respect. He gets a strikeout and he moves on with his life. He moves on with his life, and we wish Kerry Wood nothing but the best of luck. 83 victories, 63 saves, but you wonder if he could have been more. And I think the answer is simple. I think he could have been more, should have been more, but he wasn't. And he's done now. And he goes out on top, gets a strikeout, and heads for the mountains. And yesterday in baseball, also Justin Verlander, very close to a no-no. Two outs away from a no-hitter against the Pirates, interleague play. And we talk about interleague play, and you wonder if it's, I mean, other than New York, Cubs, White Sox, I guess, maybe the Dodgers and Angels. It's really not all that exciting. The luster, the thrill is gone, basically. The thrill is gone with interleague play. I'm not saying get rid of it, but it's not really all that exciting. I mean, it was exciting initially. I would have to say that, especially when you see the Yankees and Mets. I mean, other than that, not really all that exciting. Other than the Yankees, Mets, and like I said, the Cubs, White Sox, and Dodgers, maybe Angels. But other than that, not really all that exciting. Detroit, Pittsburgh, does that get you excited? Are you excited by that? Probably not. That's not really something that probably excites you. You're not really excited by that. Miami, Cleveland, are you excited by that? Probably not. Maybe Baltimore, Washington. I mean, you got the DMV in place there. Maybe that doesn't excite you, but does the Braves, Rays excite you? Are you excited by that? Texas, Houston, maybe. You got the all-Texas battle. But Kansas City, Houston, are you excited by that? No, not at all. So interleague play, it was good initially. But the novelty has worn off, and I personally could do without it. I personally could do without interleague play. I really could. But it's probably not going anywhere, but I could do without it. It just does not have the allure that it once had many, many years ago when it first stepped onto the scene. Just does not have that allure. But Verlander was very close to a no-no, very close to a no-no. It would have been his third. It would have been a third no-hitter in baseball this year. Yeah, Phillip Umber, who had that perfect game against Seattle. So you had Jared Weaver as well, who had a no-no against the Minnesota Twins. So it would have been nice. It would have been nice. I mean, no-no is always a good thing. Always a yes-yes. In the game of baseball, always an exciting time to see a no-hitter. But he fell just short, two outs away, couldn't get it done. Could not get the no-no. No-no for Verlander is a no-no. But he was close. He was close. Two outs away. And it would have been Verlander's third no-hitter, the third no-hitter of his career. That would have been the third no-hitter of his career, but again, he fell just a little bit short. Two outs away, could not bring it home. Close, but could not bring it home. But he was close. Two outs away. Almost had it, almost there, almost got it done. Just could not get over the hump, Justin Verlander. Would have been, his third no-no. But it was a no-no for him. Just would not happen. Let's bring in a guy now, 11-time Pro Bowler, 2012 Hall of Fame inductee, the one, the only, Willie Rofe. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Good.
And Willie, let's get right down to it. Jonathan Vilma this week, a guy who will be or has been at this point suspended for the entire 2012 season, has filed a defamation lawsuit against Commissioner Roger Goodell. He's saying Roger Goodell made some false comments about him. The evidence that he had was all circumstantial evidence. Do you think it was a good idea on Vilma's part here?
I mean, if he, yeah, I mean, he's got to do whatever he can do to try to play this year. And, you know, I guess the commissioner, you know, in the lawsuit, I mean, he's going to have to come up with proof that, you know, if he can beat it, Vilma, that he has proof that this did, in fact, happen. I mean, how can you prove that it happened, you know?
Now, according to the NFL, they have documentation, they have witnesses, so on and so forth. That's coming from the NFL. But, again, ultimately, you're going to have to prove something like that. And to me, Vilma really does not have anything to lose here. And the reality is he's 30 years old. He's going to lose a year's salary. He's going to be 31 when he comes back. He really doesn't have a choice here. I think he's in a position where he can stand up to the commissioner. He's in a position where he can do that.
I mean, he has, like you said, he has nothing to lose, everything to gain. I mean, he's losing a year of income, and, you know, I think he took a salary reduction for the season anyway. So you're looking at a guy come back at 31, probably playing for, you know, $1 million or $800, whatever, close to the minimum, you know, if he has to sit out for a year. So like you said, he has nothing to lose. I mean, you're taking away, you know, really the years, when you get past 30, these are years where you're trying to set up your money to put it away for the long run. So, I mean, these are very vital years for him, you know, setting up money for him and his family. So, you know, he's really in a tough spot. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
And it's difficult at this point. You're past 30 now. So it's difficult to get that long-term deal, to get that big-time signing bonus. So you're right. I mean, he has to do what he has to do, and I think suing the league and Roger Goodell is his best – it's his only way, I think, in a lot of ways, to get himself on the field during this 2012 season. Maybe the suspension can be reduced. Maybe something could happen for him. I mean, I hope something can happen for the guy. I hate to see a guy lose a year's worth of pay, especially at his age.
And once you get over 30, you know, basically you're on the year, you know, unless you're like a Drew Brees right now or a franchise guy, you know, once you get over 30, you're basically on year-to-year contracts.
Right. And look, you talked about Drew Brees and that whole situation. Right now, there's these guys, they cannot get a deal done for Drew Brees. And, I mean, ultimately I think a deal will get done, but I don't think it should be this hard to get a deal done for Drew Brees.
Well, this is the problem. Peyton Manning signed for $19 million a year on the deal he signed last year before you know, he got hurt 2 years ago. The problem is the contract was front-loaded. Peyton was making, you know, $23 a year over the first 2 years of that deal, whatever he's making. And I think Drew wants in the ballpark of $25 million over the first three. So that's where the sticking point is. How much are the Saints offering? $19 million a year, and it's probably right at $19 million a year. Peyton Manning had a deal that was paying him, if you look up the numbers, Paul, it was some exorbitant amount of money he was going to make over the first three, and that's
right.
Where Drew Brees and the Saints are having an issue. You know, the Saints don't want to pay him $25 million a year over the first year. That's $75 million. So that's where they're going to have to work the numbers out. I mean, if the Saints are at 19 over the first year, you're looking at, you know, under 60. And if Drew Brees is at around 25, you're looking at over 70. So that's a difference of around $15-16 million, $18 million. You know, that they got to make up the difference. So they're going to have to meet somewhere in between the 60 and the $75 million range over the first 3 years of that contract.
And I think ultimately, I think it'll get done. But you're surprised that it's taken so long to get done. I thought it would have got done a lot sooner than it did.
But it's going to get done.
But
well, the problem is, I mean, what are you going to do, Paul? I mean, if the team's offering 19, but Drew wants because of Peyton's deal, he wants it front loaded where he's making over 70. You gotta, you know, 19, what is it? 19 times 3 was 67. I mean, 57. You got over 10 million gap right there. So
right.
You gotta work out either incentives or, you know, hard cash. I mean, your numbers are off by you know, 57 to 75. That's almost $20 million right there.
And we look at Peyton Manning and look at his contract. He was scheduled to make, well, he made $26 million in 2011.
Well, he's supposed to make 35 this year, right?
He made $7 million base salary, then a $19 million signing bonus. So,
and he's supposed to make another $28 million to sign. He's supposed to make 35 this year.
And then he was going to make 35 in 2012.
So how much is that over the two? How much? Look at that. How much is that?
35, 28. What is that? 35 and 26. What is that? 50. You're talking about $61 million.
Over the first 2 years of the deal.
Right.
And then probably, and I think the third year he was going to make somewhere around, you know, 14, 15. So, yeah, you're looking at he was making 23 or 24 a year over the first three. That's where the problem is. The problem is the Saints are offering 19 a year straight up, and Peyton Manning would sign that huge deal, and Drew wants that deal.
Right. Right. I mean, Drew Brees is the Saints, and especially with all the things going on with the bounty gate and everything, I think that bodes well for him in terms of getting the money that he wants. And ultimately, it'll get worked out. It's just a matter of when.
They got to work it out. They have to
right.
work it out.
Definitely. And let's move now to the NBA playoffs now, Willie. You look at it, the Miami Heat, they're in trouble, down 2-1. Bosh, done for the series. Wade is hurting. LeBron is going to have to go back to the LeBron that we saw in Cleveland. And I talked about this earlier, but many people forget. Do you remember the 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers and how you look at that roster? You look at that roster that particular year. You had the second highest scorer for that team was Larry Hughes at 14 points a game. LeBron averaged 27 points during that 2007 season. You look at that team. That team wasn't very talented, but LeBron carried them to the NBA Finals. It looks like LeBron James is going to have to go back to
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, but he had a different mindset there because he knew he had to carry him. The problem is LeBron hadn't had to carry the guys like that all year. LeBron knew he had to carry that team regardless. And for this guy to carry a team, that tells you how excellent a player he is. But let's not discredit what LeBron has done this year. LeBron has had an excellent basketball season this year. He will have to carry the team. But what I will tell you is this. I know how stuff works, and I don't know how they practiced and how they prepared this year. If you look at what Greg Popovich has done, I've thought about this before we got on the line. When Greg set all those guys down and did that, everybody was complaining, well, the NBA is not getting their money's worth because these guys aren't playing. But look at what Popovich has done
right.
through the course of this season. And look at the rewards he's getting now. They won, 16 straight games? Because
Definitely.
He's rested the guys. You know, LeBron and those guys are playing way too many minutes. And from what I know, being a player in a different sport, but I'll go back to another story, P.J., you know, I know P.J. Brown. I used to go see the Heat play a lot. And he used to tell me about the way Pat Riley made guys practice. And he's old school. And you got to change that mentality. And I know dealing when I was at the gym the other day, and it's a guy that plays football. He's a big Bronco fan. And I would always wonder why the Broncos always scheduled us to come to Denver early in the season, and we always played them late in Kansas City. Well, they always wanted us to come up there early in the season because they knew how we were practicing in training camp with Vermeil. And they knew we were going to be so tired at the beginning of the season, we didn't get our legs underneath us till the season got going. Well, you know, and I remember in New Orleans, we started 5-0 my rookie year, and we had a real hard week of practice on our bye week, and it took us, you know, we went on a real slide after that because our legs were gone because we'd been in camp for 4 or 5 weeks hitting. So I'm just telling you, Dwayne Wade's hurting. It's not just because of this year, But you got to know how to maintenance these guys. They're pros. They know how to get out on the court. But it's what team is peaking and what team is fresh at the end of the season. And I don't want to say this, but it's the same story with the Miami Heat. Have they run out of gas? Can LeBron James carry a team when he's been playing 40 minutes a game the last couple games? I don't know what you expect the man to be able to do when he's playing so many minutes, Paul.
I think the Heat will still win this series, and I think LeBron James will channel that inner 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010 LeBron James. He's going to have to if the Heat are going to be successful, especially with Dwayne Wade hurting.
Okay,
he's going
if
to have
they win
to.
The, if they win this series, can they beat Boston right now?
Well, Boston still is in a battle with Philadelphia. But
well, I mean, Philly's fighting. You know what? Those Philly boys are playing on. And I got to give Paul a player I was down on last year because of his shooting has really stepped up this year, Andre Iguodala. I got to give that kid a lot of credit because he has been clutch this year. I know he missed them free throws the other week, but what he did the other night, I'm very impressed with the player Andre Iguodala. He needed to work on his jump shot, and he has gotten in the gym, and he has worked on it.
He definitely made two big shots yesterday. But you look at – I'll put it to you like this. The Miami Heat, if they can get by this series – I think they can beat Boston or Philadelphia. I don't know how much Boston really – I think they could beat Boston and Philadelphia.
But you know what the problem is? Paul, you know what the problem is?
They won't beat anybody out west.
Well, we're not even talking about that. Not without the full squad. And I still don't think they can beat – it's going to be tough to beat L.A. or I say L.A., Oklahoma City – Or San Antonio. I don't know if any of them can beat San Antonio where they're playing. But what I'm trying to tell you is Bosch could get Hibbert in foul trouble. If Hibbert is able to stay in the game and he's able to impact the game like he's been doing, then he's in trouble. Because somebody's got to get him out of that lane. Bosch, he played outside. He can take him off the dribble. He can pull him out from underneath that goal. If you don't have a big man that can get him out from underneath that paint, then you're not going to be able to go down and do what you want to do. And that's what Bosch, that's why the Heat was successful against him, because Bosch can bring him out of the way for the basket. But if Hibbert's able to stay down low, he stepped up big right now.
And looking at it, I mean, Hibbert even talked about it himself. He said now with Bosch being out of the lineup, he's able to wander. And so, I mean, who's he have to worry about? Ronny Turioff?
Yeah.
Adam, who's not
Anthony,
shooting the ball well off?
And you say LeBron's got to step up. Yeah, LeBron's got to step up. But all those guys that are having career lows, Haslam,
right.
Battier, Mike Miller's hurt. Wade has not had. He's had an okay year. He's been hurt all year. All those guys are going to have to step up around. The only guy that stepped up for the team is Chalmers. So
right.
The only guy that stepped up and made buckets for them is Chalmers. So I understand you say LeBron James has got to step up. Somebody's going to have to help him. He can't do it by himself.
But I'll say this. I mean, you look at it, Dwayne Wade is probably not going to shoot 2-for-13 again. Battier was 0-for-6 from 3-point range. He's probably not going to do that again either. So
how can you win though with those guys playing like that though? How can you if LeBron goes 9-for-18 or 20 or whatever and has 20 some, and Dwayne Wade goes 2-for-13 and you got Battier going 0-for-6, you're not going to win the game. There's no way you're going to beat a full team like the Pacers if you only got one guy. And Chalmers stepped up and had a huge game last week, and his wrist is hurt right now. But if Battier doesn't step up, or Mike Miller, or Haslam doesn't step up, somebody's got to step up and give them something. Somebody
and
on that block. They're all NBA players. They got to play.
And
the rookie Cole hadn't given him that much in the postseason anyway. I don't know how many minutes he's playing, but the rookie who played pretty good during the season, he isn't doing anything.
No, you're right. Excuse me, you're right. But I look at it and I say, Battier is probably going to shoot better than 0-for-6 from three-point range. He's going to give you more than that. And Dwayne Wade is also going to give you more as well.
I know Dwayne Wade is going to give you more than what he gave you, but Battier and Chalmers, I mean, Battier and Haslam and maybe James Jones, somebody's got to step up and give them some spark off the bench, or they're not going to, or they're not, or they won't win it, or they won't get through the series. Because Boss wouldn't be able to come back to the second, third game of next series of what they're saying. If he can, it would be in the middle of the next series if they make it to that series.
Well, let's look at, do you think they will make it to that next series?
I think they're in a tough spot. Yeah, I think you're right. If LeBron James doesn't step up and have those games where he's averaging, you know, 25 to 30 points in a triple double type game, they're not going to win. But if he's having a triple double type game, that means he's going to have over 10 assists. Somebody's got to do some scoring, and that's what he was doing in Cleveland.
Right, and I think those guys. I think Dwayne Wade will step up. I think these few days rest will be good for him. But you wonder how healthy is he and how much does he really have to give, and we'll see. And then that's going to be the big part. But, again, Chris Bosh, we always talked about the Heat. A lot of people have been saying the Heat have been the big two in Chris Bosh. I think now we're seeing that this is truly a big three. And the thing about it also, when you get those three guys, there is a salary cap. So with those three guys, it's hard to fill out your roster. And we're seeing what happens now when a Chris Bosh goes
down. Okay, well, out of the three, if one of them got to move, who goes next year?
I think it has to be Wade.
I'm sorry to say that, and I know Wade is down there and he started his career there, but out of the three, it's got to be Wade. It has to be.
And you look at it, the Heat have been very successful when Dwayne Wade was out. Bosh stepped up his game and LeBron did his thing. So they've been successful without Wade. And I think Wade has been
getting hurt a lot lately. So, I mean, I'm sorry, out of the three, it's got to be Wade. But on top of that, they've got to understand that the coaches that they've got, Bosh and LeBron, have putting some miles on those bodies, and they got to rest them up during the season. If these NBA teams haven't learned anything this year, look at what Greg Popovich did, and look how well that team's playing late in the year. And you that training camp, all that stuff early. You got to play hard when the season starts, but you got to be having your team at peak performance come playoff time. And you want them to run and be able to get on the break. They have to be rested. You have to monitor everything they do during the course of the year to get the full potential out of the team come this time of the year.
So Spoelstra, if the Heat do go out in the second round, does Eric Spoelstra keep his job, in your opinion?
I don't know if he loses his job, but I know that they got to figure out something as far as the way rotation and get some more. It's not all Spoelstra's fault, because Eric Spoelstra's not out there playing. He's not out there going 0-6. He's not out there spreading the court, and he lost Bosh. So with the lineup he has, what can he do? I mean, he can go to other options and see if they're going to give him anything off or bring some energy off the bench, but what can he do? Somebody's got to step up and give him scoring. The most consistent player in the MVP in this league was LeBron James this year, but when you lose Bosh, that's a vital part of it. When the big three is 80, I don't know if you looked these numbers up, Paul, but when the big three is 85% of your offensive scoring, then you're going to have some problems when you lose one of those guys. And if Dwayne Wade's having an off day.
Right. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, they're obviously going to be in a dog fight with the Indiana Pacers. The Heat do have home court advantage, and maybe they can use that to their advantage if they can push this to a game seven, get that game seven in their building, and they have an opportunity there. But I think this is going to be a seven-game series. This is going to be a long series. And
aren't they playing today?
They're playing tomorrow.
They're playing tomorrow, right? Well, they got to win tomorrow. If they don't win the guard tomorrow, it won't go seven.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It would be tough sledding if they do.
They got to win tomorrow.
And I expect a big performance out of LeBron James, and I expect Dwayne Wade to come back with something as well. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. Willie, you're out in the L.A. area. It's a great time to be an L.A. sports fan. A lot of great things going on at the Staples Center. You had the Lakers last night. You got the Clippers tonight. The Clippers today, I should say. You have the Lakers tonight. And then you got the Clippers tomorrow night, and then you have the L.A. Kings
during
the afternoon on Sunday.
Johnny Mill. They love this. this kid Johnny's taking over LA. The Kings were 8th seed and have really played great. I remember the guy dealing with the ticket place was trying to give away those Kings tickets. I mean, people didn't even want to go to the games last year. And look what they've done. It's been such a great story. The Clippers, you know, coming out of, you know, the Clippers was expected because they picked up Chris Paul, but for what the Kings are doing, nobody expected it. And the way they've been rolling through the playoffs has just been amazing. So everybody's very excited about them. Like you said, it's a great time to be a fan. They're making a lot of money downtown. You know, that whole area right there with the Staples and the Nokia and all the restaurants and Nokia Live, the businesses down there. I'm very excited because you got a lot of people coming in there every day.
Are you going to be around there?
No, I won't because it's that time of year. I have a timeshare deal, and me and Desiree and my daughter and some friends are headed to Cabo tomorrow. So I will be gone for a week starting tomorrow.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Well, enjoy your vacation, and so you will not be around enjoying the festivities in L.A. But, Willie, let's look at it now. The Lakers came back last night. Kobe, big-time performance, 36 points, 18 for 18 from the foul line. Got it done for the Lakers. Series is now 2-1. Do the Lakers have an opportunity here? I still think Oklahoma City is a better ball club, and I still think they'll win the series. But how do you see this whole thing playing out?
I see it going a long way. I mean, the Lakers have to win the next game. Kobe stepped up and showed why he is, you know, the Black Mamba, one of the great players. And after the Lakers giving away, gift wrapping that game and giving it away the other night, they did step up. But it was a battle. And one thing you know about Oklahoma City, that you can make a run on them, but they're so talented they can get back in the game. Oklahoma City only had 9 turnovers. But, you know, they were letting the Lakers get out on them and transition more and get more buckets that way. And the Lakers did play a lot better defense. Oklahoma City was not making as many shots, you know, making as many as they did before. So I think it's going to be tough for the Lakers. Oh, they got to play today. So I give the edge to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has a better chance to win this game because the Lakers had to exert a lot of energy, and I don't think Kobe will have a shooting game like he did last game, back-to-back days. So I give the advantage to Oklahoma City in this game because it's a back-to-back.
And what about the Clippers-Spurs? I don't think the Clippers can win that series. I think the Clippers probably will win one.
Maybe
that
one.
That probably will be today. I don't think they'll win another.
I agree with you. Maybe one game. Chris Paul is hurt. You know, he's not able to do what he normally does. I heard somebody say that they say Rondo, since Paul is hurt in the playoffs, they think Rondo is the best guard in the NBA right now. I don't know if you can argue that the way he's playing, but he's right there. So, you know, but I think Parker, is, you know, with all the play, with the way they're playing, and you know, the San Antonio's bench has got, you know, because they set their starters down so much this year. Green from, you know, I'm a big North Carolina fan, so you know I love Green. He's been shooting excellent. Kawhi Leonard, the young boy they drafted, mm-hmm. has been getting better. You know the guys that got coming off the bench have been stepping up. The other guy that shoots the ball coming off the bench is stepping up. So San Antonio's bench can come off and be very efficient for them, and that's what makes them so dangerous.
And you got Steven Jackson, they added him.
Steven Jackson.
DL as well. I mean, so they've added a lot of pieces. That's a deep, deep team there in San Antonio. They will be a tough team to beat. They're going to be a tough out in these playoffs, very obviously. And we got to say the best for last night, the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia, down 18 points, down 14-0 earlier in the game, come back. Big-time comeback. Andre Iguodala, like you said, hit some big-time jump shots down the stretch. Evan Turner stepped up. LaVoy Allen, Temple Product, stepped up.
Evan Turner. And I love that kid, Evan Turner. I love his demeanor, the way he plays. And it all stems from the head coach. I mean, you got to respect what he's done, the job he's done, the way the organization is putting back together. And those Philly fans, you know, those Philly fans, in there, I love what that is a scrappy team. a no quit team. I love watching them play. I love what Doug Collins does with those guys, and they're fun to watch, and they are tough. They are tough, and they play hard. They're gonna play you hard from the start to the end. You know, it might not always work out the way you want it to work, but the way they fought hard and came back in that game showed they showed a lot of pride, a lot of character, and I like that. I like that group of guys he has playing for.
And I think ultimately the Celtics will win this series. But I will say that they missed an opportunity last night for the simple fact is the Indiana Pacers-Miami Heat series is going to be a long series. So they had an opportunity. If they win last night, then win on Monday, end that series, get themselves about like a week's worth of rest, and then get themselves ready for whoever they play, whether it be the Heat or the Pacers. So they missed a valuable opportunity last night by giving that game away.
Well, KG didn't play. You know, he ran out of gas yesterday, and he had an off game. But they had a chance to win that game. But I will say this. If somebody didn't step up for the Heat are going to be in trouble in that series. And I know you think the Heat will win it. I just don't see the Heat have to win this game. The game that he won, they were getting to the lane and shooting those floaters, and I just don't see them being able to score around the lane around there with Hibbert down there. I mean, who's going to be able to get Hibbert in foul trouble? So, and I think that's what Bosch did. Bosch could face the basket and get him in foul trouble, and if Hibbert's able to get the rebounds and to keep those and get some blocks, it's going to make it real tough. On the Heat, because eventually Indiana's going to get going. And Granger's starting to pick it up. The other guys are starting to score more. And if Granger and those guys get hot, it could get ugly for the Nick Collison. It could get ugly for the Heat.
We saw an argument with Dwayne Wade and Eric Spoelstra. Have you ever been a part of that as a player during your time? In the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Dwayne is just frustrated. I think he's frustrated. That was just a frustration argument. He's frustrated because he can't do what Dwayne Wade wants to do. And I mean, for us looking at the eye watching the TV, you're thinking, well, Dwayne Wade's having an off night. But if Dwayne Wade's hurting, you know, he's not getting the push, he's not getting the lift, he's not getting the explosion he normally has, then it's not the real Dwayne Wade. You're watching him try to do it, but he couldn't. I think he's just frustrated with his body. You know, and Dwayne's got some miles on that body, and we know all the banging and the way he lays his body out, the way he plays, it's some wear and tear there. So they're going to really have to monitor him and get he's got 3, 4, 5 left on that deal. You know, he's got to get the most out of him. So, like I said, if you're an NBA coach in the organization, you know, take a little page out of what Greg Popovich has done. And learn from it, because you know his team looks like they're the most rested and the most ready to go get the ring this year.
And we'll see what happens moving forward. Willie, you got a nice little vacation coming up. Have a good time. Have a safe trip, and we'll do it again.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you. 11-time Pro Bowler, newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the great Willie Rofe. Thanks for joining us. We want to thank DJ Barry. Well, you can follow him on Twitter at DJBarry20. But we want to thank Damian Barry of the Baltimore Ravens for stopping on by. Also, we want to thank the great Willie Rofe. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGAN. I fought. I played hurt. I got through. I made it happen. And now we're done. See you later. Have a great day. For everybody here, go for it. I'm Paul Gant. Take care. Bye.